I should have announced the next part, really, and then I wouldn't have needed to step up here again. But Tom is going to come and read to us from God's Word and then pray with us, I hope. Yeah, good. Tom is going to read from Genesis chapter 26, and all being well, the first 22 verses.
This morning's reading is Genesis chapter 26, which is on page 20 of the Church Bibles. Now, there was a famine in the land, besides the former famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and your offspring I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham your father, and I will multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven, and will give you to you the offering of all these lands. And in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." So Isaac settled in Gerar. When the men of the place asked him about his wife, he said, "She is my sister." For he feared to say, "My wife," thinking, "Lest the men of the place should kill me because of Rebekah, because she was attractive in appearance." When he had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of a window and saw Isaac laughing with Rebekah, his wife. So Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Behold, she is your wife. How then could you say, 'She is my sister'?" And Isaac said to him, "Because I thought, lest I die because of her." Abimelech said, "What is this you have done to us? One of the people might easily have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us." So Abimelech warned all the people, saying, "Whoever touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." And Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. The Lord blessed him, and the man became rich, and gained more and more, until he became very wealthy. He had possessions of flocks and herds and many servants, so the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped and filled with earth all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father. And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we." So Isaac departed from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water that had been dug in the days of Abraham his father, which the Philistines had stopped after the death of Abraham. And he gave them the names that his father had given them. But when Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found their well of spring water, the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." So he called the name of the well Esek, because they contended with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that also, and he called its name Sitnah. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it, so he called its name Rehoboth, saying, "For now the Lord has made room for us, we shall be fruitful in the land."
Please do be seated. If you have your Bibles with you, please keep them open on Genesis 26. On the lectern here is a notice that I entirely forgot, so I'm going to tell you now. And if you can all tell Pat that I did remember, I'd be very grateful. There is a new Vision magazine for EMF, which will keep you up to date with what the European Mission Fellowship are doing, and it is at the back somewhere. So please do take one and use it in prayer. And I've remembered now. Right, Genesis chapter 26. If you're not aware, we're going through the period in Genesis between Abraham and Joseph, where we see the nation of Israel being formed, or the foundation blocks being laid for the nation of Israel. We are aware of that verse in Hebrews chapter 12, and I mentioned this last week. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured to the cross. So we're aware, as we look back at the Old Testament, particularly, and church history too, that we can look at those people that have run before us, that have run the race, and take encouragements from them. We can look at those people in Hebrews 11 and take encouragements from them. They're not there clapping us on. They're there for us to look to know that they ran the race so we can run it too. Always more importantly than that is the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we can look to. Now, the question that we find ourselves asking, or I find myself asking when I read Genesis 26, is, am I trusting in God's promises? Promises of blessing. Promises of hope. The promises that I have from God are different to the promises that Isaac experienced. But God made great promises to Isaac, just like he has made great promises to us. Maybe we'll think a bit more about what those promises are later on. For Isaac, the promises that God made were much the same as the promises made to his father Abraham. The promises made to his father Abraham are reiterated in Genesis 26, twice, I think. Verse 1 says, there was a famine in the land. Besides the earlier famine in the days of Abraham, Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, and the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt, dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. So we see here a picture of Isaac living in hard times. He had a home, the home in Canaan that his father had. His father, Abraham, had had great flocks and herds and a massive household. Isaac inherited that. And here, after Abraham's death, we see a famine. And famine is something that in the West, I think we struggle to understand. Possibly my greatest experience of that was about 3 years ago when you couldn't buy toilet roll for love nor money. But in Isaac's day, they lived very much hand to mouth, year by year. One bad crop would have decimated society. And that's the context that we find Isaac in. No food, no money, having to leave his own land and go as supplicant to someone else. In this case, to Abimelech. God, however, promised that he will have clear directions. Dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. God told him what to do. God made it clear where he should be. And then, in amongst that turmoil, God goes on to make great promises. Sojourn in this land, stay, rest, be aliens in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and your offspring I will give these lands. I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham your father. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and will give you to you, and will give to your offspring all these lands, and in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. There's a great promise at the end there. In your offspring, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. We understand that that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, one of Isaac's offspring, whom people around the world have been blessed through coming to know him in faith. But for Isaac, not only was he in this backdrop of famine and having to move, but he was told that the land he was going to would be given to him anyway. And the promises that Abraham received are now relevant to him as well. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and will give to your offspring all these lands. In amongst all that, all the problems that he faced, God reminded Isaac of the promises that had been made to his father. Promises he may have heard as they sat together after on the mountain in Moriah when Isaac wasn't sacrificed. The great relief that a ram was provided. And those promises still held. Even though maybe Isaac was looking around and thinking, where's the food going to come from? How am I going to care for my household? God's promises still stood strong. And I wonder, as we look back at Isaac, what we glean from that. I wonder how you feel this morning. maybe that you've come to church feeling very blessed, feeling very affluent, feeling very healthy. It may be actually you've come with worry, doubts and fears, financial insecurity, failing health. It may be that you don't really want to be here. It may be that you can't even be here and you're joining us online. It may be that this morning you feel your life is in turmoil and you wonder how on earth God can keep his promises in that situation. But we should be encouraged to look to Isaac. He was facing difficult days, and yet God's promises still held. God has promised. If you have faith in him, he cares for you and you have great hope ahead. He has promised to supply your needs, not your wants. He has made promises that his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, will cover every blemish of sin through his death if you come to him in faith. Just because our lives don't look like how we would dream doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. In fact, as we read in Hebrews 12 later on, his discipline shows us that he loves us. God cares for his children, even though sometimes it may look and feel like we struggle. Look to Isaac, who in the midst of famine was reminded of God's promises. If you need to be reminded of God's promises to you today, spend some time in Scripture. Read them. Delight in them. Interestingly, verse 5, and I'm not going to dwell too much on verse 5 of Genesis 26. We read, I will bless you, and so on. Verse 5, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And that's an encouragement to us as well. And we thought a bit about this, the men yesterday morning in breakfast. The idea that God's righteousness and God's standards are so high that sometimes we may think it's just too difficult to attain. So kind of what's the point in trying? Please don't cut that part of the sermon into an Instagram clip. That's a bad thought. Yes, God's standards are high, but we should still seek to live in a way that is pleasing to him. And gloriously, we can please him. If we are trusting in Christ as our Saviour, we can do things that please our Father in heaven. Abraham, in Genesis 26, God says, obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes and my laws. And yet we know he was a flawed human being. We know he messed up, and yet God still says, Abraham was great, Abraham was good. That's an encouragement to us. Yes, we're flawed, we make mistakes, but we can still seek to do good things. However, the caveat is we can't trust in them to save us. The only way to be good enough for God is to trust in Christ. A weird balancing act there. I'm not going to dwell on that too much more. If you want to speak to me about it later, please do. Anyway, we've seen Isaac receiving these great promises ahead. He'd just been told by God that his nation would be, his descendants would be as the sand on the seashore, or his He didn't, that was to Abraham. As the stars of the heaven, sorry. He was going to have this massive family. And then they go down into Gerar. And we see that faults that had happened before continue. Which is really sad in a way. He just had this great promise. And he goes into Gerar. And in verse 7 we read, the men of the place asked him about his wife. And he said, she is my sister. For he feared to say my wife, thinking the men of the place should kill me because of Rebekah. Because she was attractive in appearance. Isaac was married to Rebekah. He was promised that he would have loads of descendants. He had literally just been told by God that he would be blessed and given a nation. He goes down into Gerar and says, no, don't worry about it. She's just my sister. Because he didn't want to die. He thought that the men of that nation would kill him so they could take Rebekah because he saw her as beautiful. This had happened before as well. Abraham did the same thing twice. Once in Egypt and once with someone called Abimelech. We don't know if it's the same Abimelech. It might be, or it might be an ancestor. It might be more of a title. Isaac had been given a great promise, and yet he still doubted in God's power. He took things into his own hands. He had a wife. He thought she was beautiful and he wanted to protect her. He wanted to protect her. What he didn't do was trust in God to protect her. God had told him exactly where to go. Isaac still didn't trust that God would help him enough. I said earlier, God has promised to supply our needs. Do we trust him? If he has made promises, we should. God has told us that we are saved by Jesus alone, by faith in Christ alone. Do we trust him? We should. Don't put the burden on ourselves. God has put us all in certain places to serve him, whether that's our homes, our neighborhoods, our church, our workplace. Do we trust him to be able to do it? It's a sad part of Isaac's life in a way that he showed this lack of faith after receiving such great promises. But it is a challenge to us today not to be like Isaac, but to recognize his faults and seek to flee from them ourselves. It may be that we feel called to serve God in some way in Christian service within the church, whether that's me standing here preaching, whether that's those that are working with the young people today, whether that's serving tea and coffees or welcoming or playing. And sometimes I wonder whether we just don't feel able. But if God has put us and got us where he wants us, he would enable us to do it. I was once preparing a Bible time at camp, and one of the other leaders, David Rushbrook, who was preaching here a few years ago, I was talking to him and I said, I don't feel very prepared. I don't think it's going to be any good. And he said something that's really stuck with me. And I'm going to try and get it right. He said, sometimes the sermons, the talks will be great, and God will use them to challenge the lives of those that are listening. Sometimes you might think, actually, they've gone terribly, and God will use them to challenge you. And either way, whatever happens, God has a sovereign plan. Trust in his plan. Don't be like Isaac. Gloriously, even despite his failings, Isaac receives unexpected protection. Isaac has struggled to trust God. He said this whole, she's my sister, not my wife thing. If you trace the lineage of some of these patriarchs and work out how they're all related, it does get a bit confusing. I'm not going to go into it this morning. God didn't change the law on who to marry or closeness of family until later on. But gloriously, even despite his failings, God protects Isaac in an unexpected way. Genesis 26 verse 8 says, when he had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of a window and saw Isaac laughing with Rebekah, his wife. I read in a commentary this week that the word for laughing there isn't just sort of a laughing at a joke, but more an intimate laughter, a laughter that you'd see between couples, a knowing laughter, a joy at being together. So Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, she is your wife. How could you say she is my sister? Isaac said to him, I thought lest I die because of her. Abimelech says, what is this you have done to us? One of the people might have lain with your wife and you would have brought guilt upon us. So Abimelech warned all the people, saying, whoever touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Isaac thought he was protecting himself. He was more worried about his safety than her holiness. He thought that he was protecting himself by lying, and in fact could easily have got himself into more trouble. Abimelech could have just cast him out. He could have possibly, I mean, he was the king of the nation. He could have possibly put him to death for lying to him, for potentially bringing great trouble on them. But that doesn't happen. Gloriously, in God's providence, we see Abimelech protecting Isaac. He didn't try and take Rebekah for himself. No one did. He actually forbade anyone from touching Rebekah. The protection that Abimelech provided went further than anything that Isaac could have done humanly. And surely that protection has to come from God. Because Abimelech didn't know Isaac, didn't care about him. He was a foreigner that had come just begging for food. Isaac was terrified as to what might happen. He failed to trust God. But this account shows us that sometimes help and protection comes from anywhere, even when we don't expect it. And I wonder where your difficulties lie this morning. It might be that we just need to trust God, that his protection will come from somewhere we least expect it. The ultimate thing is, we need to trust God. Psalm 121 is beautiful, glorious. It reminds us of great hope. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord. Hills are places of refuge and safety. That's not where our help comes from. It comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He who will not let your foot be moved, he who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep you. You're going out and you're coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Who protects us? Not ourselves. The Lord. And sometimes he will use entirely unexpected ways to bring that help. We may still suffer. I'm not promising you a glorious life. But I can promise a glorious eternity if your faith is in Christ. Sometimes our days of difficulty are designed to strengthen us, but the Lord still protects us. And so often, we can look back when we're on the other side of those difficulties and see God's hand in all those things. Finally, we see an illustration of what I just said. Isaac was called, Isaac had promises, Isaac was protected. But then he was sent to serve God in a place of mounting hostility. Do you remember the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on earth? He was tempted by the devil in the wilderness to throw himself from a height and call down a legion of angels. When he was in the garden praying the night he was crucified, he said, I don't need protection. I could call down a legion of angels. And yet he didn't. He carried on through his life. The Lord Jesus Christ lived a difficult life in order to serve God's purposes. And in a way, we see a glimpse of that in Isaac. Isaac was promised that he would have loads of descendants. He was promised that he would inherit, or his family would inherit, the nation that they were in. He received blessings. Read verse 12. Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. The Lord blessed him. The man became rich. He gained more and more until he became very wealthy. He had possessions of flocks and herds and many servants. The Philistines envied him. Verse 16. Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us. You are much mightier than we. Clearly, God blessed Isaac with many earthly blessings. So much so that the Philistines were nervous of him and sent him away, something we see through Scripture or the Old Testament happening. But God had put him in that place in order to build his kingdom on earth, the nation of Israel. And one would think, well, surely it's going to be easy then. Surely God's just going to keep making everything easy. Well, that's not what happens. If we were to read verse 17, through to 20, we see this whole problem with wells being dug. Isaac and his household needed water. And yet every time it seems they dug a well and found water, either the Philistines had stopped them or the herdsmen around them wanted rid of them. They quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying the water is ours. This finding of water should have been a great moment, clear sign of God's provision, but it wasn't. Verse 21, they dug another well and quarreled over that. Isaac had been sent out into this place to build his family, and yet it was difficult. It was hard work. There was quarreling. Those around him wanted to stop him. Abimelech got rid of him. Eventually, they did find somewhere that they could live and rest. And even just in that, we see an encouragement for us. See, God has told us as believers to do certain things. He has told us to be salt and light. He has told us to be light, guiding people to Christ, showing people that Christ is the better way. He has told us to be salt, trying to make this earth a better place, trying to unveil the full beauty of the earth to those around us. So the full beauty of God's creation, I should say. God has told us to go into the world taking the gospel. He has given us those commands, much like he told Isaac to live in that land and be fruitful and multiply. He has given us commands. And sometimes we might think, well, surely they'll be easy to do then. We've got God on our side. And in a way, that's true. But actually, we have been sent out into a place that's difficult, a place where there is quarrelling with us. Much like Isaac faced quarrelling over the digging of wells and the provision of water. We recognise that not everyone wants us to do our God-given role. Go and make disciples of all nations. It's not always easy because we face hostility. John chapter 15 verse 19 says, if you were of the world will love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So as we look back at Isaac and we recognize his determination to persevere through this hostility and his continued desire to find water so that he could sustain a family in the place that God had put him, we should look at our lives as well and recognize the commands that God has given us, the instructions and the duties. And even though we will face hostility, we should be encouraged. Because we're told that we will, and we're told that we are different, that we are transformed. So we should be encouraged to carry on serving God, even through hostility. Look at Isaac. He did it. He managed it. And this evening we'll think about his nature, the way that he did it, and be encouraged by that. If we're still struggling with our God-given roles, if we're still struggling with hostility of the world, well, we can look at Jesus as well, as Hebrews 12 verse 2 tells us to do. He, much like Isaac, lived in a hostile world. Much like Isaac, he had a job to do, much like us. But he did it perfectly. He never sought to protect himself at the cost of his righteousness. He realized that his role was going to cause him much pain and suffering. And yet he carried on. So as we struggle with the hostility that comes from the world, we can expect unexpected protection. We can trust in God's promises. Let's not fall short because we don't have faith. Let's look to the faults that have gone before us, things that, not as a church here, but as the church across history have gone wrong, and flee from those faults. And we can look to Jesus and look to Isaac as examples of how to live in a place, even with mounting hostility. I hope that's been helpful this morning. Sometimes the Old Testament is not always easy to see how we can apply it to our lives. They lived in very different days. But so often we can look at the Old Testament heroes of faith and be encouraged to persevere all the more. And that's my longing for us today. Amen.